Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Friends, welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. Happy Memorial Day to all my American friends who are celebrating. I hope you are having a great weekend. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'm really happy to be here with you today. Like many of you, I'm traveling back home today after a fun weekend with my people. So I love listening to podcasts while I'm riding. I hope you're getting to do the same today. We have got a great show in store, one of your favorites and one of mine. But before we dive into today's conversation, I want to tell you about one of our incredible sponsors. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we launch the Summer Lovin' series on Thursday, you're going to get to hear from some incredible experts on relationships, including counselors and therapists. No matter what season of life you're in, single, dating, married, therapy is so incredible at helping us better understand ourselves, and that helps us be better as we interact with others. Navigating our mental, emotional, and spiritual health is hard to do alone, but that's where BetterHelp comes in. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. They make it so easy. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. Y'all know we love a quiz. Plus, your session can be done right from home. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient and flexible and fit in your schedule. Finding a therapist that is the right fit for you is so important, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, so you're sure to be working with someone who is a good match. We are big fans of counseling around here, and I think it's really important to prioritize time for therapy no matter whatever season you're in. As you step into some new rhythms for summer, consider giving therapy a try and help find the balance that you need. When you are stretched thin, I get it. It is so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to figure out what you need. Therapy can give you the tools to find more understanding in your life so you can keep supporting your people without leaving yourself behind. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/thatsoundsfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thatsoundsfun. Today on the show, I get to talk with our good friend, Drew Holcomb. Y'all may remember Drew from episode 160. And do you remember the part that we had to record that one twice because I didn't hit record on Drew's mic? Yes, I know. So love that guy. Grateful for him. Or you may remember his wife, Ellie, who's been a longtime friend and on the show a lot as well. Rolling Stone called Drew one of Americana's most popular stars, which is so cool. He and his band, Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, have been seen on Jimmy Kimmel Live and CBS Saturday Morning and more. And he's an Emmy Award winner with music synced in over 75 of TV's most watched shows. How cool is that? Drew has long been a part of my summer playlist rotation, and he's got a brand new full-length studio album called Strangers No More that releases on June 7th. And y'all, okay, listen, it is so good. You're going to hear me fawn over this album to Drew in this episode, but I am telling you, I did not think it would get better than Dragons, and it did. And lucky for us, a bunch of the songs are already released right now, so wherever you love to listen to music, probably wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can already hear some of the new songs. It is so good. You're going to love this conversation, and you are going to love that album. It's a great way to usher us right into summer. It feels just like summer. You're going to love it. So here is my conversation with our friend, Drew Holcomb. Drew, welcome back to That Sounds Fun.
It sounds fun to be here.
And I'm only going to make you do this interview once, unlike last time. Tell the story, Drew.
Well, you know, I came in and we had a great chat.
Magical, some might
say. Magical chat. And then we found out that it was just you and me talking. Uh-huh. We didn't record it.
We didn't hit record.
So
I hit
back.
Record on my mic. I just didn't hit record on your mic.
But you know what's great? We're both professionals, so we did it again.
And we like each other.
It went awesome.
It went awesome. Oh, Drew. Well, this time we have a Craig to hit record.
Thank you, Craig.
Are both microphones recording? Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Drew, I'm so glad you're back. There's 1,000 things I want to talk to you about.
I'm ready.
You just turned 40. Right? 41?
Well, I just turned 41.
41. Yeah. And that was the big party that you put on Instagram that you were just showing us.
Yes.
What did 41 feel like compared to 40?
I mean, it's a little bit of a, here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still here.
I'd have told you I was the person who would always know exactly how old I was because I love birthdays. And 41 to 42, I've always been like, I'm 42. I'm three.
I still feel like I'm 40.
Yeah.
You know, like 40 feels like less of a year and more of a state of mind.
Yeah, that's right.
And I like being 40.
If that's true, you've been 40 for about the most of the time I've known you.
My mom told me I was born old.
Yeah.
So it's
I think
true.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
I am reading a book and it is about how you age. And one of the lines in it is osteoporosis is a choice. And I called my parents.
You gotta wait till I don't have coffee in my mouth when you say that.
I called my parents and I was like, how do you feel that your child is reading a book that says osteoporosis
is a state of mind? Is a choice. Is a choice. Yeah.
Are we seriously that old? I mean, you have three kids.
No, we're so young.
We're so young. We're spry.
Yes, we are so spry. I learned to kite surf last week. I'm young.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Were you already a surfer? Did you go in with some surf knowledge?
I knew wakeboarding and wake surfing. Okay. I haven't done like ocean surfing.
Yeah. What made you do kite surfing?
Ellie.
Uh-huh. That feels right.
Yeah.
Oh, was it one of y'all's trips?
We were at this event down in the British Virgin Islands where we were playing music at a foundation's charity event. And the place had kite surfing as one of the options.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's learn kite surfing. I said, man, that takes like a long time.
Yeah.
And we kind of got the hang of it pretty quickly. And the guy said, I think we can have you up by day three. And sure enough, by 8 o'clock in the morning on the third day, we were kite surfing
in the
Caribbean.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So I'm not, old people don't kite surf.
No, old people do not kite surf. That is a young man's game.
Yeah, straight
You're
up young man over here.
Yeah, that's right. What is it like?
It's amazing. It's like,
are you doing paddleboard kind of movement or where
like
you're just
wake,
going?
More like a wakeboard movement.
Interesting.
But slower because you're being pulled by the wind instead of a boat.
Yes, but you're not trying to surf on the waves like in Hawaii.
No, you're kind of out in the middle of the ocean, so it's like the soft waves, not like the cresting hit the ocean waves.
No shark fears. You're good.
I don't have any shark fears.
Yeah, you don't even think about that. You're not even like, what happens below me?
Yeah, no, no fears.
Dude, I cannot. That
ocean is not afraid of snakes. I like snakes.
Really?
Yeah, see him. I want to go get him.
Yeah. I want to grab him.
See if I can get away with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't have a lot of fears.
When it comes to your boys,
I have fears of my kids getting hurt.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I was
like, wow, really? Just going straight in there.
No. When it comes to raising your boys, are you going like, jump on the trampoline? Yeah, for sure. Climb up on that roof and jump in the pool. Like, are you, letting them be like you?
No, I have reasonable fears. Like if you jump off a roof, you might break your leg.
Yeah.
But I have, you know, like I'm not. Oh, if you jump off this cliff into this huge body of water, you're probably gonna be fine. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I that's sort of guardrail in that way.
Yeah.
Like, if I see stupidity, I sort of step in. But if I see just bravery, let it ride.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's really good. You and I are both entrepreneurs in spirit, so we are talking about it. Do you know which Enneagram type you are?
Yeah, I'm an 8.
An 8.
With a 7 wing.
Listen, I was with
some friends. We are going to have a party.
And I'm like, we're going to have a party, but do it right.
Right. that's right.
My 8 is so, a friend of mine yesterday was like, are you sure you're not an 8? And I was like, I know I act like one, but my motivations are so 70. I know they are, but my entrepreneurial spirit and leadership is 8-ish for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So talk to me about where that meets, right? Like, where is your, like, I'm not afraid of sharks. I'm going to be able to kite surf and I'll pick up a snake. Meets like, here's a business opportunity. Here's, I mean, Magnolia Records, you did something no one has done.
Yeah, well, I just try it. That's sort of my, like, if something seems like a good idea. I've had a lot of entrepreneurial failures as well.
Have you?
Yeah. One of them was the idea of doing golf trips on tour buses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody's so intrigued with the tour bus, right? Everybody who's never been in one is like, ooh, the tour bus. They sleep on these big, beautiful, sleek RV looking things.
Yeah.
And they're partying in there and they're having a good time. And how do I get on one of those?
Yeah.
And so I was like, ooh, I could take that. But then what I didn't realize was that sleeping on a tour bus is miserable. And when people pay a lot of money to go on, I did two sort of trial trips in the bus, and both were failures. No one slept. By the end of it, they're like, I just want to go home. Can I get a flight? You know, like, okay, that was a failure. And I had like hired somebody and built a website, and I probably was $25,000 in the hole. And
wow,
I just like watched it float off into the ether of failure. But then I've also had some successes, like the festival has
been a huge
success and been a lot of fun. And I'm a part
of it. Will you play it every year? Is that part of the like?
It is. That's part of the deal. We partner with AC Entertainment now. They kind of bought it from us, but I still participate in it, obviously. And I'm not sort of contractually obligated to play in it.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think it would be really strange if I didn't.
Yeah, certainly. I have also built things that didn't succeed. Except to say,
you learned something really.
Yeah, I mean,
for sure.
We didn't necessarily set up what failure was going to be. What's failure? Doing it and it not working, maybe, or doing it and working until it didn't. I mean, before you started the golf trips, did you say, okay, I'm going to start something new no one else has ever done, and if we make X amount of money, or if they love it, or if, what was your, how did you determine this is a failure? They didn't have a good time?
Yeah, like they're not going to go tell their friends they should do this.
Uh-huh.
And also there was a bit of sticker shock. People were like, wait, it's, what is it, $100 a man for a 3-day thing? I'm like, no. What do you think this is? Like a Honda, sleeping in a Honda Accord, real
right,
car? You know?
Right.
So, there was just definitely like a disconnect between what I thought the experience would be and then what the experience was. And then also in COVID, I had like sort of I had this big golf event. Obviously, a couple of these things were around golf because I love golf. But I had this music and golf sort of weekend that we had done a couple of times. And it was a success relative to zero. But it was a failure relative to the amount of time it was taking me and the net gain that it was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it was like, and the sort of legal liability exposure I was having. I had a couple guys that came that I didn't know that made some very poor choices and that reflected on me. And so, you know, there's other X factors involved. But what I really learned in the pandemic was a lot of my motivation for doing all these things was twofold. On the good side, it was just I love trying new things and doing fun things and getting a team together and executing a vision.
Yeah.
However, on the bad side of it was that I was doing a lot of it out of fear that my regular career was going to go away.
Wow.
And I wanted
We saw that amp up here. What do musicians do also?
What do we do now? Yeah, what do we do also? And what I learned in the pandemic was that the thing that I was most successful at, even in the worst possible time for being a touring musician, was my music. And so I shed about 7 different ideas all at once, and now I'm like basically only focused on making records, writing records, and then being involved in projects where I'm not the lead player. So I'm involved in a few other entrepreneurial things now, but I'm not quarterbacking
anything.
You're not
the builder.
I'm sort of pumped the brakes on all of the building except for the music thing.
Interesting,
Drew. There's just a lot of reflection in that time for me about why am I chasing so much, you know, why am I always chasing a new idea instead of sort of channeling that energy into chasing new ways of expressing music, new ways of touring, new ways of writing. And so now, you know, I've got touring with Ellie, I've got touring with the band, I've did these things with Johnny Swim, and now I'm sort of putting all of that energy into the one thing.
Yeah.
And it's been very life-giving, and it's decreased my to-do list by like 75%.
That is really
and giving me a lot of more, giving me a lot more time back, and put more of that creativity in things like, what's a great adventure I can do for our kids, or what can I do with our friends, or you know, learn how to fly again, which I got my license in college, let it sit on the shelf basically for 15 years, and so anyway, it's been a really beautiful 3 years of discovery and reorienting myself towards different things away from entrepreneurship.
Okay, that's so interesting, Drew, because I didn't say this exactly to you before we started, but as I was listening to your new album, Strangers No More, it feels very mature.
Oh, thanks.
Like, it feels very, like, I thought about, I've never experienced immaturity in your music previously, but I always pay attention to what am I feeling, in my, especially when it's someone who I know real life with. I'm like, man, like, Gratitude was like this incredibly mature song. Of like, hey, I mean, it's ecclesiastical.
Yeah.
I've looked at the world. Yeah. And the number one thing you should do is be thankful.
Yeah, that's exactly what that song's about.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I felt. And so I thought, man, Drew has hit some sort of stride of this is my lane. And you're saying that's what was going on behind the scenes the whole time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there. I think it started pre-pandemic for me. I had a tour where my career felt like it was sort of coming unbuckled.
And it was with Dragons?
No, before that.
Okay. No. I was like, golly, Dragons was...
No, this is like 2017.
Got it.
I've gotten really sick in 2016, yeah. Got meningitis. 2017, I released a record called Souvenir, which I really love. But for whatever reason, it didn't really connect with our fans in the way that our previous records had. And then financially, I got myself into sort of overshot the budgets on the touring. And all of a sudden, I was out there working as hard as I could and losing money.
Yeah.
And I just sort of reached kind of rock bottom. And at the same time, I was having a really hard time sleeping on the tour. And so I was exhausted.
Oh, wow.
And I just started, my daily practice was just get up, go on a walk, and think about all the things you're grateful for. Friendships, Ellie, get along great with my parents. Like, yeah. There's a lot I have in my life to be thankful for. Health, my health, which I was especially acutely aware of that after the meningitis scare. And so that began a 5-year, sort of 6-year process of just trimming a lot of things out of my life and reevaluating. And gratitude was sort of my lens. You know, there's just so much to be grateful for. And not in some like, okay, what am I thankful for this morning?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hide from the hard things. As a matter of fact, like one of my favorite lines in the song is, all that's been taken and all that remains.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all had a lot taken from us, no matter who you are. And it's really, you know, hard in the moment to be grateful for something being taken from you. But I look back and I think, man, so many of the moments where something was taken from me is where, like, something good grew out of that.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's really a lot of the themes on this record. Sort of that's sort of the crucible for it is gratitude.
So I'm learning from you in real time, Drew, of, like, there's something about identifying what you're best at, simplifying to that, that is a higher risk and higher reward.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're experiencing?
Yes. I think there's satisfaction in it. I mean, I have to be more okay with missing out on lots of things, you know?
I'm terrible at that.
I know.
Business opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like,
travel opportunities,
let me in.
Business opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, like one thing that Ellie and I did this year, we do this trip every year called State of the Union. Has she ever told you about this?
Yeah.
And she has been reiterating to me over and over again how she needs more time at home.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been like, oh yeah, well, you had 3 nights at home. She's like, no, sorry, I need to be more clear. Where we're all at home, not just me with the kids or you with the kids.
Yeah.
And so we started doing this thing where we would put on the calendar 2 nights of every week, and they don't have to be consecutive, but 2 nights of every week are home night.
Yeah.
And those are sacred. And all it
meaning
means
not just in town, but like you're not eating out.
So
you're not going to a show.
Totally. If somebody says, we got front row seats at the Ryman to see Billy Joel, which doesn't happen, but if it did, well, that one we might move
home night around. There's a couple
But I'm just saying that, like, in general, it's like, oh, well, this is this great opportunity, or I got invited to this thing, or this investor wants to talk about this cool real estate thing, or somebody wants to write a song with you. They're only in town that one night. It's like, hey, we got to protect this home night. So, and also learned one thing from Don Miller. He said, I invited him to something once, and he just said, thanks for the invitation. I'm not available that night.
Mm.
No, like, well, I got a friend coming over. And it's like, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
Why you can't come.
Yeah.
Just learning to say no and knowing that what we need is a couple nights a week where there's nothing.
Yeah.
Just us and our kids. And like yesterday, we ended up playing kickball on a home night at the school yard next to our house. So
y'all do 2 nights a week.
Yeah.
And it's like on the calendar.
Mm-hmm, it's on the calendar.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really thoughtful of both of you. And do y'all do State of the Union once a year?
Once a year.
Y'all go on a trip?
Yeah, every January.
Yeah. And how many days are y'all there?
It's usually like 3 full days,
4
nights kind of thing.
And y'all just chop it up, figure out everything for that year.
Well, we also have a lot of fun. We typically go somewhere sort of sunny and warm because it's cold and dark here.
You're about to have to live through February in Nashville.
And we have like, you know, a nice big breakfast and sit by the pool somewhere and then, or maybe do some activity. And then the afternoons and evenings we talk through, look at the year behind, what was good, what was bad, what was hard, what was easy, look at the year ahead. What do you want out of it? What do you not want out of it? And then we do then a couple other shorter conversations about like, what's our financial situation? Yeah. What's our, how are our kids? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a similar goal, even though I'm the only one in my house currently, is like, hey, at least one night a week of a weeknight needs to be a home night.
Yeah.
Like,
just
when I don't, I'm having so much fun. And also I haven't checked the mail in right. a week and a half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I haven't, and everything in my fridge is rotten.
Right.
And so there's just something, because for all of us, for all of our friends listening, we can do a social activity every night, whether you've got kids or not. There's something available in every city every night.
That's right.
Yeah. So what happens when Billy Joel front row? I mean, how often does someone bump into one of your home nights?
Oh, I mean, there's a conflict every week, and we wow. have to say no every week, I feel like.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it's not usually something of that.
Certainly, certainly. You know, are you going to see him this weekend?
Wait, he's coming this weekend?
Yeah, they're at he and Stevie Nicks are at Nissan.
Oh, I hope it's not on a home night.
I think it's I know there's one Friday night.
Okay, I need to look into that.
Yeah.
Friday night I'm out of town, but I get back late, yeah. like at midnight. But
yeah. Yeah. How are you getting back at midnight? You're doing a show on Friday and then
no, it's not
back?
A show.
Oh, okay, you're out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just not available.
I'm just not available. It's nobody on the podcast business where I'm going.
I was like, you're doing a show and getting back at midnight?
Well, sometimes
tell me
I do
more.
Now because I've been flying myself.
In your own plane?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I
true. That's so cool.
I'm in a there's 15 pilots that own a couple planes together, so I'm not like
money, that's awesome,
money bags
though.
Over here that can buy a plane. But
that yeah. is so cool. So you're just like, hey, where can I land?
Yeah.
And I'll just get, and there's the band ride with you?
Every once in a while, a couple of them do. They're not all comfortable with that.
Right.
Well, some of their spouses aren't as comfortable, uh-huh. but yeah.
Y'all are going to be the band version of Yellow Jackets, that show. Have you seen it?
No.
It's a whole soccer team. I haven't watched it either. So if people are mad because it's inappropriate, my apologies. I haven't watched it. I just know that it's a soccer team that their plane crashes in Canada.
And they have to survive together.
Yeah. And they're a soccer team, a high school soccer team in 1996. Literally our peers.
Oh, wow.
And so it'd be like going back. So I'm it's in my heart. It's on my list.
Yeah. I mean, where have I been?
With the writer's strike, we're going to have plenty of time to
yes,
catch
up. Yes, we are.
That's we're not
right.
going to have anything new for some time.
That's
so
true.
All the shows you've been wanting to watch, dear everyone, you're going to get to because they are not writing us new ones. That sounds fun. Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation to share about our amazing partner, Nuts.com. Listen, there's one thing we always have stocked in our office, and that is snacks. You know this. I mean, you know, we even have the whole snack show about snacks on the That Sounds Fun podcast network. We are big snack people around here, and our new go-to place to order from is Nuts.com. Nuts.com is your one-stop shop for freshly roasted nuts, dried fruit, sweets, and pantry staples like specialty flours and more. Their wide selection means there is something for everyone. That is very true in our office. They have cashews, which some of us love and I do not, gummy bears, olives, popcorn, saltwater taffy, trail mix, and so much more. One of the crowd favorites over here at Downs Books is the dried mango. Oh my gosh, you guys, it is so good. And we have also loved their bourbon pecans. Big fans. We are big fans. Every single thing we've gotten, people have loved. Someone has loved in this office. It is amazing. And here's the thing. Nuts.com offers plenty of gluten-free options. Thank you very much. Organic choices and other healthy eating products as well. Whether you're looking for something sweet or savory or need to stock up on everyday cooking essentials, you are going to find something you want to try. Trust me. Shop a la carte at any time so you can just get what you want or you guys, opt into hassle-free auto delivery so you never run out of your favorite things. Snack with satisfaction knowing that quality is a top priority at Nuts.com. They roast their nuts and pop their corn the same day it ships, you guys. So they reach you so fresh. Like, do you hear me saying what a super fan I am? We are so in love with Nuts.com. And right now, Nuts.com is offering new friends like us a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at Nuts.com/that sounds fun. So go check out all of their delicious options at Nuts.com/that sounds fun. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's Nuts.com/that sounds fun. That link and pretty much every other link you could ever dream of are in the show notes or in Friday's AFD Week in Review. So make sure you check those out. Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived. And I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like am addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. And listen, while I'm fangirling, can we keep talking about another amazing partner that you know I love? Liquid IV. Okay, listen. As we head out on tour next week, you know we are packing the Liquid IV. We move pretty fast around here, which means we also make sure we're taking good care of ourselves with rest and play and with good hydration. Liquid IV is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. In just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning, before a workout, when you feel run down after a long day or on a long flight. Listen, I always put one in my water bottle on a flight. They've got 12 delicious, refreshing flavors to keep your hydration routine exciting. I'm partial to the acai berry and the lemon lime. Oh, the lemon lime. But they have so many to choose from, like strawberry lemonade. Listen, I need you to know a thing. We cannot keep strawberry lemonade in the office. People drink it so fast. I tried to go get one yesterday and they are all gone and we just bought a new pack. So we love that one around here. Concord grape is great. Pina colada is great. Liquid IV believes that equitable access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. Same, same. So they partner with leading organizations for innovative solutions to help communities protect both their water and their future. To date, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. That is so awesome. So grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code That Sounds Fun at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code That Sounds Fun at liquidiv.com. Okay, now back to our conversation with Drew. That sounds fun. Are you writing right now? When an album comes out, are you still writing all the time or do you take a break?
No, I take a break, and I'm kind of more in right now. I'm in a lot of rehearsal mode for touring. We're doing a ton of touring this year.
Oh my gosh, you're doing so much. I looked at the website. I can't wait. It's
going. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going out with, we're doing a bunch of festivals, and then we're opening a pretty much the whole Darius Rucker summer tour, which is That's kind of fun. All over the country. And then we're going to do some headlining in the fall and some other opening stuff that we will announce later. And,
yes.
I just really believe in this album. My band, coming out of the pandemic where we had 18 months of not doing shows with live audiences, when we got back on stage, something really magical happened.
Yeah.
And we were clicking in a way that I've never experienced. And I just immediately said, I got to start writing a bunch of songs and get these guys in the studio. Because this is, whatever's happening on stage is very special.
Yeah.
And I was right. We went in the studio and just had this incredibly beautiful, collaborative experience. A lot of good, healthy friction and musical back and forth and experimentation of, you know, kind of got this place when you get older, it's, even if you're afraid of something, like somebody's like, well, I want to do it this way. And you're like, no, I don't want to do it that way. You go, well, let's try it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're right. And then that happened on a handful of these songs. I mean, one I love, there's a song I wrote with Dave Barnes called All the Money in the World.
Oh, of course that's what Dave, it totally sounds like it now that you tell me that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, of course it's Dave.
So we had written that song pre-pandemic and I'd kind of shelved it because it didn't feel like, it just our original version of it just didn't quite fit with who I've, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable in it.
Yeah.
You know? And I would get together with the band once a month for a whole day. We'd do a Monday a month and we'd sit in a circle and I'd play every song I'd written that month. And then they would sort of offer their thoughts and then we'd run it down and kind of just
get to
know the songs. And one month I'd been a little lazy and not written a lot of new songs. So I pulled 4 or 5 old songs off the shelf that I had, for whatever reason, had never made the cut. And this is one, and it was originally sort of a more of a 90s, like Boys to Men slow jam.
It's true, yeah.
Like, Dave was like, you should try this, you know? And he was so right. It was incredible. Yeah. The band was like, hold on, what if we tried it this way? Kind of clicked it up and turned it into this kind of bigger song. And immediately it went from being not even in the conversation to being like a top five song for the record.
Oh, my gosh.
So that collaborative experience with the band was just very fruitful.
Yeah.
And because of that, I just really want to, I'm kind of like, I try not to be much of a self-promoter, but on this one, I'm like, if you've ever liked our music, this is the best one yet.
It is, Drew. It is so good. Told you over the last 4 years, it would be so hard for you to bring an album to Annie that she likes more than Dragons.
Well, thanks.
And you've done it.
Wow,
I mean,
that's sweet.
I love this album. I think On a Roll, favorite song. That's my favorite song.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes, it's amazing.
And I can say that because Nathan wrote it.
Wrote it?
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
I can't wait to tell him. Yeah. Love that song.
And he played it, and I was like, oh, Drew's about to get a Springsteen on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, so because I've never done an album in my life, do you think seasonally when you make them? For example, this is a summer banger, the whole album.
Yeah.
This is the one you want to, like, you're by the pool. I opened my sunroof yesterday because of what I was listening to.
Oh, good, yeah.
And so do you think of that when you're making an album? Are you like, this is going to be in the summer, besides Christmas?
No, but it is really fun when it lines up that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because it sort of depends on the song. I mean, you know, like On a Roll to me has a little bit of a feeling of like the disappointment of summer ending and leading into fall.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, no, we're not giving it up yet.
Yeah.
You know, we're like,
it's my NES 7. Yeah. The bucket has
it's
holes
not
in the bottom.
Over. Yeah.
Fill it back up.
But then, you know, there's some winter on here with like Troubles and Fly. Fly is definitely a song about just like this tension of getting older and being okay with it. I love you're allowed to have, at this point in my career, I'm allowed to have my own favorite lyrics.
Yes, of course.
And I love, when I wrote this line, I knew, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I knew myself in the moment. Just this, I'm a boy at the window as a summer sun sets. I'm an old man in winter, nothing more, nothing less.
Yes.
Just this idea of this tension of, as you get older, I guess like we were talking about at the beginning, I feel really young.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not.
Right.
Oh, that's sort of a lot to look in the mirror at.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
Yeah.
It is really interesting. I thought that, I mean, I'm telling you, the maturity rang so loud on this album to me of college students are going to love it. I'm not worried about them like coming to the shows and losing their minds. They're going to love it. But I love it because I also want to see you do it at the Ryman again or whatever you're doing here. You know, I want to like.
We'll be doing that for sure.
Great. Because I want to like feel this album live. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the maturity in it. You also, I mean, the last couple of years, your personal transformation in some ways we see online, right? Like you're talking more about politics than you ever talked about. You're talking more about things that you're like, hey, I don't compromise on this conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel like that played into the album too.
For sure.
This is who I am.
Yeah. Well, and I think I'm able to do that now because I feel like I'm a little warmer about it in the sense
Keep going.
It used to feel, my conviction, I think, used to hit people more sharply.
Oh.
You know? And while my convictions in some areas are similar as they used to be, because I think I can do it without, I can share my perspective or my thoughts or my point of view without as much potential for alienating someone who may not agree.
Yeah.
It's as simple as saying, you know, when someone says, this is the greatest book ever written.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you could say that differently like this. From my point of view, this is the greatest book that's ever written.
Yeah.
And then you invited somebody not just to hear your opinion on the book. You've actually invited somebody to know you a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
And they go, why is that not? Why do you think that's the best book ever? It's more, tell me about your story that makes that the greatest book ever.
Why'd you make that shift?
Because I realized how wrong I was about so many things.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Or that I've met more people who have more perspective, and they said, well, I could see how you see it that way, but have you thought about it from this point of view? And I go, well, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and honestly, there was a conversation, you know enough to know that Troubles. Okay, let's talk about Troubles. So this relates to what we're talking about. This is a song I wrote the day after Uvalde.
Yeah.
And this was also in the middle of all of the very intense, and I'm not want to go there, but very intense and divisive issues around the Supreme Court in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So this Trouble in the Schoolyard is about school. Trouble in the park, trouble in the courthouse, you know, trouble in my heart. The trouble in my heart is where I grew up. Right. Yeah. Like that's me realizing that this isn't, I'm not just pointing out that the world is so full of trouble. It's, oh man, that's me too.
Yeah.
You know, I just like, I gotta figure something out here. But a couple of years ago, I made some pointed remarks about some people in power, and a good friend challenged me. He said, you know, I understand that in times where it feels like there's nothing to be done about certain things, this was specifically recently about what's going on here in Nashville with Covenant. Yeah. You know, you can get on Twitter and Facebook and you could score some points and make yourself feel great. Or you can lower yourself to being a regular citizen and get in the conversation and get a seat at the table.
Wow.
You know, and so that's, I've been meeting with folks here in Tennessee about what are some bipartisan, thoughtful ways we can maybe make some changes instead of going on Twitter and saying, you know, whatever, when I don't know all the details, I don't know all of what people think. And also didn't know very much about the legislative process until I got myself in there. I was like, oh, this is a lot more complicated than I thought.
It's really interesting, right? Because in a way, God has like opened up this path with you and Ellie being representatives of Tennessee in so many ways that when Covenant School happens and all of our eyes are suddenly open to what is our legislation here in Tennessee?
What's it like? How does it work?
Yeah, you have respect already because you're already known for loving our state.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And so I wonder how much that played into your opportunities you got to have conversations.
Well, it honestly started, I met, and I'll say his name because he's been very generous and thoughtful, even though we may not agree on a ton, a guy named Jeremy Faison, who's the caucus chair for the GOP. And
in Tennessee,
and he's from Eastern Tennessee. And I met him at a Tennessee game, and he just walked up to me and said, "Hey, I really like your music." I was like, "Oh, thanks." I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And when everything went down, I was just feeling a lot of things, and I just sent him a Twitter message. I said, "Hey, we met at a Tennessee game. Yeah. Can Ellie and I come talk to you?"
Wow.
And he said yes, and we had this very thoughtful conversation. And he said, "Would you be willing to have the same conversation with some of my colleagues?" And he introduced us to pretty much everybody, and now we have an open dialogue happening. And so that wouldn't have happened if I was just shouting on the internet.
Yeah.
You know? So
the pressure, though, right, for everyone, for people that are public, but if you just have an Instagram account or if you just have a Facebook, there is pressure to, if you're not saying something, you're not doing something.
Right.
So you're also an eight who's kind of like, watch me not care what y'all think of me, but do you?
I was about to say, well, I don't care about that.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
I mean, I do care only in the sense that I want to protect. I recognize that as a musician, you're not just an individual. Like, I have people, I have employees, and I have client relationships with managers and booking agents and publicists who we have built something together. Mm-hmm. It has my name on it, but we've built it together. And so I have to honor that in my public. So I care what people are saying about me on the internet only insofar that I want to make sure I'm not being a fool and destroying something that we as a team have built.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But there are times, I mean, I had some very pointed things to say after January 6th, and my Instagram just became a total dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. So I went and turned the comments off.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people were like, "Oh, you're a chicken. You don't want to have conversation." I'm like, no, I don't want to give my platform of X number of people who have chosen to follow me. That's the problem with social media is we've platformed so many. Like, all you have to do is go say something incendiary on a famous person's account, and then you're getting all the the adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be about whether it's LeBron versus Michael.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a real like important conversation.
That's
it could
exactly
be like,
right.
Do you like lemonade or sweet tea? And which one's better?
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's got, that's the problem with social media. And so I'm learning how sometimes now when I decide to speak my mind about something publicly, I turn the comments off because I'm not necessarily trying to have a public conversation with strangers about it.
Yeah.
I'm just offering my take.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm doing it on the free site, not at my show.
That's right. That's
right. My shows are Drew commentary free. You know.
My counselor taught me this really helpful thing of with praise and with criticism, that in my mind, all the comments we get, they all in my mind have a different text color. They don't, but in my mind they do, and goes from red to black. And red are like you who have my phone number.
Yeah.
That if you say something
you're listening.
Wonderful or terrible about me on an Instagram post, I need to really pay attention because we're living life together.
Mm-hmm.
The color decreases as, well, I know them, but they don't have my phone number. Or they have my phone number, but I haven't seen them in 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's yellow. And then green is like, well, I have known them for a long time on the internet. So mm-hmm. I care. What they say is so kind.
They've earned a right for me to read it.
Yes. Yeah, and then it goes down to what we see, which is black text of if it is a cat face and they have a lot of numbers.
Right.
They actually shouldn't be why you're crying.
That's so good.
Right?
That's so good. You know, speaking of Tennesseans, on this similar note, Governor Haslam.
Yeah.
He's just a wonderful
dear
soul.
Governor Haslam, run for president.
I know. Come on, man.
We all want it.
So I asked him one time, he's been just a great friend and been willing to offer me some of his time and advice, really just around being a public-facing figure and dealing with, you know, a relative amount of notoriety.
Yes.
And I said, so what do you do with the criticism and stuff? And he said, you know, I just learned that don't take criticism from anyone you wouldn't ask for advice from.
Mm, wow.
Isn't that great?
That's it. Yeah.
You know, like
that's it.
If you wouldn't ask that person for advice on, you know, whether they like Joe's Burgers or Pam's Burgers, then you probably shouldn't listen to them. Like, critique about your family.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, it's interesting. I don't get it as much. I mean, I think I have to really sort of talk Ellie off the ledge sometimes because so many of people in the faith world seem to think that, and I obviously am a person of faith and. A lot of fans who are, but that's not sort of my public facing work.
Yeah.
You know, whereas hers is. And so people very discouraging. I find them to be sometimes the people who comment about certain things on her social media. I'm just like, hey, wow, these people need to start blocking. Uh-huh. It's time to start blocking.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's neither here nor there. I mean, it's just an encouragement of people of faith maybe to be a little, you know, like gentler and she's such, you know, she's just like the greatest person.
She is the greatest
person. When she gets really down about somebody saying something awful to her, I'm like, oh man.
Rage against the machine.
So yeah, my eight turns really
if I knew
big,
if I ever
silverbacky,
saw it,
you know.
I would silverback if I saw it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, come say that to me.
Yes.
Oh, you come over and say that to Annie F. Downs. You would not. Yeah, that's what I would do to Ellie. Ellie, get behind me.
That's right.
Get behind me. Oh, man. Yeah, she's wonderful. I also love how y'all have handled publicly, we work together here. We don't work together here. This is Ellie's lane. This is Drew's lane. And we have a lane together.
Yeah.
I mean, you did such a good job, Drew, of saying after a show where people had yelled for Ellie.
Well, you should have heard what I said in the room.
It was not as
calmly thought through. I mean, I'm at the end of the day, I've listened back to it multiple times. We record all of our shows. And I have my only regret of some of the things that I said was that there were some children in the room. But the content of what I said was I stand completely behind it. And it was really interesting. Basically, a guy was being incredibly rude to me and the band at the end of a show. Ellie hasn't been in the band for 10 years.
10 years.
10
that's
years.
The thing.
And so we finished our first song of the encore, which we had done, Tom Petty's Running Down a Dream. And my band had just smoked it.
Yeah.
And lit it on fire. It was so good. And it was one of the last shows of the tour. And I was so proud of them. And the crowd's chant, you know, cheering for us. Then it dies down. And this guy yells out, but we still want Ellie.
Oh,
and I was like, took a deep breath. I gave him one more chance. No, I gave him one more chance. Oh. I said, hey, man, she hadn't been in the band for 10 years, bud.
Yeah.
And he goes, Ellie, Ellie, Ellie. And that's when I popped my top. And said some things to him, but ended up wrapping it up. It's sort of explaining why I was so frustrated with him, and defended the band, and went around and told him who they are and why. And there hadn't been. I was like, we haven't seen our children in 28 days, man.
Yeah,
we're like busting it out here.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I said, and we're gonna play one more song for everybody tonight, and it's for everybody in this room but you.
That guy had to be like, so.
And it was Dance With Everybody.
Oh, I was. You're like, everybody, you could dance together except
for
you.
That guy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I just think there's so many of our friends listening who maybe the husband and wife serve at the same church.
Yeah.
Or they are working at the same place.
Or maybe they run a business together.
They live in the same house.
Yeah.
They run a life together.
Absolutely.
And y'all have done a really good job of going like, your lane, my lane, our lane.
So my favorite of that has to do with our parenting.
Uh-huh.
We felt a lot of pressure to like do everything the same way. I don't know where we picked that up, but we realized we were having a really hard time with it because we parent very differently.
Yeah.
And so about 5 years ago, our kids are 10, 7, and 4. 5 years ago, we moved to this model where we rotate who does bedtime.
Okay.
So we never do it together.
Yeah.
And it's been so great because she does it her way. Yeah. And then I'm downstairs, I clean up the house, do the dishes, et cetera. Yeah. And the other night, we flip it. She does it her way, which takes a lot longer.
<I'm sure. laughs>
So I have a lot more time.
Right. She's doing a lot more tindery things.
Yes, reading like extra books and extra snuggles. I'm like, I already gave you a hug, dadgummit.
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes and go to sleep.
That's brilliant. I think that, I mean, it plays to what you do on this album. It plays to what y'all do on the road of if everybody does their lane, it sounds really beautiful together.
Yeah.
Right? And so I feel like I'm learning that is, because I'm not married yet and don't have kids yet, my closest experience is here at work with everybody that we see each other every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
If we all are doing our lane, if I will stay in my lane, then they can stay in their lanes and we do a beautiful thing together. If I get catawampus and try to do someone else's lane, that's when everybody is rocky.
Yeah. 1,000%. That sounds fun.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to share about another amazing partner that y'all know we love around here, your Enneagram Coach. Okay, you know we think the Enneagram is a helpful tool. It is not the gospel, but it is a helpful tool. We talk about it often around here. We have a show coming up. And today we have a really cool and free opportunity to tell you about. If you also love learning about the Enneagram and even helping other people understand it, this is a really great idea for you. Your Enneagram Coach, Beth McCord, we love Beth McCord. She is one of our go-to Enneagram experts. And did you know that Beth and her team actually certify Enneagram coaches? They have nearly 2,000 Enneagram coaches in over 25 countries. These coaches are literally changing their own lives by building a flexible and successful side hustle, doing something they're passionate about. But more importantly, they are helping others grow, heal, and flourish using the powerful tool of the Enneagram from a Christian perspective. One of my very best friends is certified through your Enneagram Coach, and it is amazing to watch all the corporations and families and friend groups that she is getting to help. It's awesome. Beth's certification program opens a few times each year, and it is opening soon. That's why I'm telling you about it now. But before it opens, though, Beth wants to give you guys the opportunity to explore this further. So right now, you can register for a special class that Beth is hosting called Become an Enneagram Coach, and it is free. Even if you're slightly curious about what an Enneagram Coach is and what they do and if it might be a good fit for you, then this webinar is an important training tool for you. Beth will share her story about being an Enneagram Coach and how that has changed her life and will answer all of your questions. So learn more and sign up for the free webinar at yourenneagramcoach.com/TSF. And if you're listening to this episode after enrollment has closed, you can still sign up to be notified next time registration opens at yourenneagramcoach.com/TSF.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
And one last amazing partner to share with you, fast-growing trees. Okay, listen. I love for my house, my porch, and my office to be full of thriving plants, even though I may not be the best at keeping them alive. And FastGrowingTrees.com has got us covered for all of our interior and exterior landscaping needs. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plant, shrub, and tree varieties for your unique climate, from Meyer lemons to evergreens and everything in between. We're aware of all the benefits, right? The beauty, the cleaner air, but sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best in the context where you live. No problem, because with fastgrowingtrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs. Plus, their plant experts are always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through the season and beyond. So whether you're buying plants for your first home or working on a seasoned garden, fastgrowingtrees.com has experts in the field ready to support you and your plants for years to come. Just order online and your plants arrive at your door in just a few days. I am crazy about fast-growing trees because we found a fiddle leaf fig tree, you guys, and a ficus plant for our offices at great prices. And they've got your perfect plant match too. And with Fast Growing Tree's 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, you know that everything will look great fresh out of the box. Join over 1.5 million, you guys, 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Go now to fastgrowingtrees.com/thatsoundsfun to get 15% off your entire order. That's fastgrowingtrees.com/thatsoundsfun. And now let's go back and finish up our conversation with Drew. That sounds fun. Are you ever going to write a book?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I hope so.
I've been working on an idea. I did this thing called Unsolicited Advice on the Internet.
Oh, yes. Are you done? You said I did this thing.
Well, I did a bunch of videos of it. But I've been saving. I'm going to find this and read a couple of them to you because they're kind of funny. It's a mixture of stories and anecdotal sort of actual pieces of advice.
Yeah.
And it was received really well. And then I kind of started running low on ones that would translate well on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And more that needed sort of a long form story.
Okay, I'm
so
ready.
This is a true story. So like one of them is don't fish downstream of Sam Holcomb or you might get hooked in the penis.
That cannot be real.
That's real.
Your brother?
That happened when I was 14.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you can't just put that on Instagram.
No, you can't. You have to explain. Mm-hmm. Don't yell Freebird or Piano Man at a concert ever.
Yeah.
You know, don't make dry ice bombs near the police station when you're a kid.
Oh, boy.
That's a good one. There's some unsolicited advice about magical furniture that Ellie wanted the 14-inch cabinet to go in the 12-inch space. and she wanted me to try it, even though I told her it wasn't possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you try it?
No. Well, actually, yes, I did. I did. Yeah.
And it didn't work.
It didn't
work.
Unless
it did.
It's amazing it didn't work. Don't bring your nieces and nephews stolen Christmas presents.
No.
Yeah, that's a real one.
Did you steal?
No, I didn't. My uncle did. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's, you know.
Yeah, there's a book here.
Yeah, there's I've got about 100 of those.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't organized them yet, but there's going to be a book there, and it's going to be funny, and it's going to be a good time. And then I think Ellie and I should do one as well, like unsolicited advice, and just tell a bunch of funny stories about our 20 years of being on the road together. But
100%.
I think the hard thing for me, though, and this is an interesting, like, we've had this conversation before about writing. I'm such a fan and have been such a fan for many years of like the great American novel.
Yeah.
You know, the East of Edens and the Moby Dicks. And I've read John Irving and, you know, Stein. All these people I've read so much of their stuff. And I think there was always a part of me that thought of myself like, I'm going to do one of those.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wait until that. And, you know, so many great writers in America have lost their minds literally trying to do that. And, you know, it's similar in music. And it's interesting. I've been able to be more precious with my recordings than I probably actually am on a day-to-day basis.
Uh-huh.
Because you're making something sort of a moment in time. Music is short form. It's like short story writing in a way. And I think I'm afraid of, like, I want to make sure I know why I'm writing a book before I write the book.
Yeah.
Back to that earlier conversation about staying in my lane. I want to make sure it's my own lane for myself.
Yeah.
But I also think it would be really funny, you know?
Oh, it'd be so good, Drew.
Really,
I mean, you're just a poet. It's already in you. I feel like there's some really good songwriters, and you're one of them, who I go like, you have opened the faucet to let it drip, and we have no idea what could happen. Because that's what you have to do for a song. You can only drip for a song.
Yeah, that's right.
If you open the faucets, what are we going to get? That's what I want to know.
I just don't want Ellie to get canceled from Christian culture because of my book.
I mean, that's a joke. And also, I bet that is a thing y'all have to think about. That I do. I know.
Yeah.
And well, I still want you to write it at some point.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I will. I promise,
great.
Honestly.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
What do we not say that you want to make sure we say?
I don't know. We talked about the tour. We talked about the songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can listen to the songs today. That whole album comes out next week, so they can get the whole thing. But
let's talk about Find Your People.
Okay, do talk about Find Your People. I love that one.
Okay, so one of my favorite things about this record was that pretty much all of the co-writing, I think there's 11 songs. I think I co-wrote five of them, maybe six. And they were all very organic. So Gratitude and Dance with Everybody. Catch Secor from Old Crow Medicine Show. Our kids go to the same school.
Yeah.
We're dropping them off at school one day, beautiful fall day. He says, what are you doing this morning? I said, I'm just going to be in my office working. He goes, let's write a song.
Yeah.
And if you know Catch, that's like his personality. He's like, hey, you want to write a song this morning? So we go write Gratitude. We're done by 10:30. What in the world? You know?
Oh, my gosh.
A conversation about life and how intense it is and yet how beautiful. And we were really talking about how it's so easy in today's sort of divisive times to just dwell on how everything's so hard.
Yeah.
And instead, it was like, why don't we dwell on the, like, timeless things that are good?
Yeah.
You know? And so that's where those songs came out of. And Dave and I obviously have been friends for years and wrote together. And then Natalie Hemby helped me write through this song. It's the last song on the record about getting over meningitis and honestly getting over being afraid of death. And
wow.
So Kevin Rhodes is a great artist here in town, songwriter.
Instagram's thing he's doing right now.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Y'all,
right?
We will link to it for people to look at K.S. Rhodes' Instagram. Of
the Mumford one?
Oh, the Mumford one was just hysterical.
He does these, just for those of you listening, he takes a nursery rhyme.
Yep.
And then he spins a Wheel of Fortune wheel to a band. And then he does that song in the style of that band. And
it's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It's
the
hysterical.
BC Boys one does.
I'm afraid it's making him no money and taking a ton of time, but it is very funny.
Which is, hopefully this song will make up the difference.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so keep going. You and Kevin.
Okay, so Kevin comes over. We had just gotten a piano in a writing room. And I was like, hey, you got to come check out my piano. Maybe we can write a song. So he comes over and we just get to talking about fatherhood and we're talking about coming out of the pandemic.
How many do
and
they
isolation.
Have?
They have one.
One.
But young. And I was just sharing with him, I think the sort of, if I had one thing to tell people, like, what, they'd be like, well, your life seems like it's going so great. What's the magic sauce? I'm like, friendship.
Yeah.
Friendship.
Same.
I've got great friends.
Yeah.
People that I love and trust and people that love and trust me.
Yes.
And so I said to him, he was like, so what? You guys think it seems like it's going really well for y'all? I was like, yeah, man, we just really feel like we found our people.
Yeah.
And he goes, find your people. Find your people. You got to find your people. And I was like, okay. And
and record.
We are off to the races. And again, we had this song written in like an hour and a half. And
true, my gosh.
And it was just one of those, all the things that we love about friendship, you know, people that don't leave your side when you're screwing up, people that know you, that understand your jokes, that, you know, don't demand anything from you, lend a hand. It's a very like on the nose. We're just saying it out loud. It's not a lot of metaphors in the song.
Yes.
And then the chorus is all about why. It's, you know, it's a world full of strangers. You don't know who to trust. All you see is danger, trying to find what you lost. And ends with this like sort of, and it's a little preachy, but we're preaching to ourselves. You got to find your people, then you'll find yourself.
Yeah.
And I have had so much fun singing this song.
Yeah.
And it also, with the band, it felt very sort of autobiographical. We recorded it. We were all kind of just laughing about how, what an amazing thing we built this life together over decades now.
Yeah.
And just really proud of the song. It feels like it's, you know, family just kind of was a, this didn't even have a chorus really.
Yeah.
Or the chorus is really the verse and vice versa. It's like kind of breaks all the songwriting rules.
And I'm okay. And everybody knows it.
And I'm okay with that by now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't care.
Right.
You know. 22-year-old me would be like, ah, this isn't going to work.
Right.
And 40-year-old me is like, dude, you've been missing out.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, really, really love this song.
Yeah, the whole album, Drew. I mean, I, like I told you, I didn't know you'd surpass Dragons in My Spirit, but you did it. It is so good. I just can't wait. I'm thinking about people laying by the pool or laying by the lake and just like having this rolling. It's just the right one.
Thank you.
The right one for the summer. So thank you for writing it and singing it. And I cannot wait to see it live. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to see it live. Okay. The last question we always ask, Drew Holcomb, because the show is called That Sounds Fun. Tell me what sounds fun to you.
Oh, so many things sound fun to me. I'd like to play kickball again.
Uh-huh.
I played kickball last night and we got beat by another family. It sounds fun to go back and beat
them. That's so fun. Y'all just text another family and said, meet us out there in 10.
They were play kickball.
Yeah,
it was actually more organic than that. We were like, let's go to the playground and get takeout.
Yeah.
And there was a kickball on the playground.
Oh,
and next
brilliant.
Thing you know, parents had to hit left-footed, though, which was funny because one of the participants who'll go unnamed was struggling with that left-footed kicking. But so many things sound fun. I would really love, Ellie and I made a list of things that we want to do in our life.
Yeah.
You know what sounds fun? Taking my 7-year-old to Boston. Yes. He wants to do the Freedom Trail.
Oh, my
He's been
gosh.
Reading a graphic novel about the American Revolution. He comes to me the other day and goes, Dad, I want you to take me to Boston. Oh. And I was like, why do you want to go to Boston, buddy? And he goes, I want to do the Freedom Trail.
Oh, God.
And see all the places from the revolution. And I was like, bud.
Done.
You are my son.
Yeah. Get in the plane right
Let's
now.
Let's go to Boston.
Are y'all going to do it? I hope so.
Sure. For sure.
Oh, I love Boston. That's so sweet. Reading that stuff and having a parent that you can say, show me more. Mm-hmm. Whether you can fly them somewhere or get online or watch a movie,
but any of it
just says great things about your parenting too, my friend.
Well, thanks. So,
that's awesome. Boston.
Going to Boston.
I love Boston. Go see a Red Sox game or something. Yeah. Good call. Good answer. Okay, Boston. Drew.
Coming your way.
Drew's coming. Leave him a spot to park the plane. Oh, you guys, don't you love him? I know. He's just the best. I mean, listen. What a good dude. I love his music. That makes it easy. But listen, that's the kind of dude we want to support and be friends with. And so, lucky for us, he also makes incredible music. So get ready to listen to all of Strangers No More starting on June 7th. I'm telling you, this is the album you need for the summer. And you can go ahead and listen to some of the songs now, which is awesome. And grab a ticket. Go see Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors on the road with Darius Rucker this summer. Speaking of on the road, next week. You guys, next week, the Here For You tour brought to you by our friends at Africa New Life begins. We have been counting down for so long. I'm talking years. Carlos and I have dreamed of this. And now it is here. But listen, it is not too late to grab a ticket. A lot of our VIPs are sold out, but there is still a seat in the room for you. If you've been holding out to see if you'll be in town or if you want to grab a friend and road trip our way, go get your tickets now. HereForYouTour.com. We don't want the rooms to sell out and you not get to be there. So HereForYouTour.com. Okay, we heard what sounds fun to Drew. You know what sounds fun to me is the Here For You tour. Now we get to hear what sounds fun to one of our friends who's listening, just like you. All right, Laura, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
My name's Laura and I'm from Bangor in Northern Ireland. And what sounds fun to me in a couple of weeks is that myself, my husband, our little boy and our newly adopted doggy are going glamping. Now, it's glamping. I don't really know if it's as posh as I think it is, but camping in a tent isn't my ministry.
Nor mine.
This is in like this, like a wooden hut with like a bathroom.
Yes.
So we're very excited about that. That's what we're looking for.
It rains too much in Northern Ireland for you to be in a tent. No, we can't.
That is true.
That cannot. Laura, as we told you, I think you're our first international star here on the podcast. That sounds fun, friends.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Okay, glamping, I am with you because I barely don't want to be in a hotel. If I'm going to be outside, it better be like, have a bathroom.
Yep.
How far are y'all going from where you live?
About probably 40 minutes away, 40 or 50 minutes away.
That's
not
great.
Not that far.
That's
but
perfect.
Again, in Northern Ireland, that could be, you know, the other end of our country.
That's right. And as I told you, Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland is one of my very favorite things. It is just an amazing country.
Well, that's our plan. After we spend the night in this little wooden hut, we're going to go see Giant's Causeway.
Oh, will you post a picture and please tag me so I can share it so everybody can see the insanity that is Giant's Causeway. They just don't even know. They do not even know how sideways this natural wonder is.
It's amazing. It's so good.
What time is it where you are? This is a fun game.
It is 7:10.
Yeah, it's
night.
Only 1:10 in the afternoon here. And
I know.
Tell me what you ate for dinner tonight, because I personally don't tell my Scottish friends this. I really love Irish food. I almost think, I just love it. So tell me what you had for dinner.
Oh, I don't know if it's Irish. We had chicken wrapped in bacon.
Yes, ma'am. That's Irish.
With, of course, potatoes.
Thank you. See?
I'm veg as well.
Yeah. There you go. Well done. So, I know it doesn't feel Irish to you, but to the rest of the world, that was a very chicken wrapped in bacon with potatoes and veg is very Irish. Well done.
That's as good as my cooking gets.
That sounds good to me. Do your husband or son have very Irish names?
My husband is called Stuart.
Yeah.
Or Stuart, as you guys would say. And our little boy is called Judah.
Oh, I love it. That's amazing. Yeah. Laura, thank you so much for doing this today.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Annie.
That was great. Okay, if you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, on a tour bus soon. All the places you may need me, that's how you can find me. And don't forget, you can find the That Sounds Fun podcast on Instagram at That Sounds Fun Podcast. And listen, you want to be following over there, especially when we kick off the Summer Lovin' series. I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you, and I'll do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me, well, I'm starting to pack for getting on the bus next week. So as soon as I get home from my trip this weekend, seeing my people, I am going to really get focused on packing. I got to make sure I have everything. So it sounds fun to me to get that in order because we're going on tour. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you back here on Thursday as we kick off the first episode of our Summer Lovin' series, Dating 101 with Ben Stewart. Listen, this is for our single people, but married, you have a lot you can learn alongside us. It's going to be so good. Make sure all your single friends know, though, that because we're going to be talking about how to meet people, what we're seeing in dating culture, and so much more. He is so wise. I love Ben Stewart. I cannot wait for y'all to hear it and to start this whole series for the month of June, y'all. Get ready for some summer loving. It's going to be good. We'll see y'all Thursday.